Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at PO Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you to today's edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's always a great joy to come to you in your home, your automobile, your office, wherever that you might be, and to share the unsearchable riches of Christ, His most holy word. My, how the church today has abandoned the purity of the word of the Lord. And that's what we need more than anything else. Regretfully, it's hard to find a pure word today because men don't even believe in the word of God anymore. But I believe the word of the Lord. I believe every word in the pages of God's holy writ. I even believe the cover on the Bible, where it says, Holy Bible. It's holy because it's the Lord. It is His Word. Jesus told us in Matthew 24:35, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. That's how powerful the Word of God is. For John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven, the former earth, they were what? They were passed away. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My word shall not pass away. That was not a metaphor. That was a prophetic word. John was able to see the future by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it behooves us to embrace the entirety of the Word of God and rightly divide the Word. There's much misrepresentation concerning the Word of the Lord. But if you want to grow spiritually, you must adhere. You must adhere to the Word of God because there is great, great power in the Word of the Lord. Amen. We want to go today back to the book of Jonah. I trust and pray that you've been blessed by this great book about this man of God who was angry with God because he did not want to see God forgive the Ninevites of their sins and redeem them because, well, they were of Assyria. They were Israel's enemies. And, of course, Jonah wanted God to kill them. He didn't want God to redeem them. And so as Assyrians, they were a threat to Israel. Well, Jonah took it upon himself to flee from God and God's presence so that God would not suffer them to repent, get right with Him, and thus God destroy them. I want to go today back to Jonah chapter 3. Pick it up in verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Some people believe that the city of Nineveh was so great it would take a 3 days journey to go from one side of the city to the other side. So when Jonah got into the city a day's journey, in other words, a third of the way, he began to cry and began to cry aloud and say, Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The word came unto the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne. He laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king, by his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. My, what an awesome God who says of himself, I am plenteous in redemption if people will repent. Here in verse 4 it says that Jonah began to enter into the city about a day's journey. So that speaks that the city was so wide in breadth that it would take 3 days. And after he got to about a third part of the city, he began to preach what God had commanded him to preach, and that was to preach, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. 40 means trial. 40 means probation and testing. Through the prophet of God, Nineveh was given 40 days to get it right. If they did not get right with God, the same fate would befall them as Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, when he said in Malachi 3:6, I'm the Lord and I change not, that is so true even in the judgment of God. God does not change. He does not respect people or personage because of nationality, because of their statehood, because of their economics. Sin is what causes God to have to deal harshly with men. When they hear a message of repentance and they fail to repent, the same fate would befall Nineveh as befell Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what he said. The Bible says in Genesis 19 and 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, which he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. He overthrew the cities. He overthrew them. He overthrowed them. The same message. Now, let me point out something here. Jesus said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for this generation. Now, why would Jesus make such a profound proclamation? Because Sodom did not have one Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, anointed, revivalist, preacher, evangelist declaring the impending judgment of God. Nineveh had a record of Sodom and Gomorrah and their destruction. We, as Christians, have a record of the Noachian, the Noahic flood. We have a record of Sodom and Gomorrah. We have a record of Titus and his dad, Vespasian, who overthrew Jerusalem and tore down every wall and picked the gold between the mortar joints. Not one brick would be left upon another, Jesus said. We have a record of all of these judgments, and yet somehow America thinks God is not going to judge her. Sodom and Gomorrah was totally annihilated. There was nothing left. That's where we get the Dead Sea. The salt. Jonah was told by God, go and preach what I bid thee. Jonah 3 and 1. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You preach what I tell you to preach, Jonah. You don't preach what you want to preach. You don't proclaim what you want to proclaim. You don't go in there and shake the people down for money. You go in there and tell them in 40 days, I'm going to overthrow this city, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I know this is not popular preaching in America. That's why I rarely get an opportunity to preach in a church anymore. They don't want to hear a message of repentance. But God said, Jonah, I tell thee, go preach repentance, and if they don't repent, I'm going to overthrow the city in just 40 short days. Oh, but God loves everybody. Psalms 7:11 says God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms 9:17 says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Did you know America has forgotten God? Jeremiah 2:32 says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. This nation has totally forgotten God. Judges 2, verse 10 says, and there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. This nation is rearing up, raising up a generation of young people who know nothing about the Word of God. They know nothing about the Holy Ghost. They know nothing about conviction. They know nothing about the gifts of the Spirit. They know nothing about God whatsoever, except God is just a God of bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But I'm telling you, he's a God that says, I'll overthrow you if you do not repent. God meant what he said. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. This is a presage. This is a foreshadow. This is a foreboding of America if we do not soon repent. If I've ever sensed the need to preach a revival on repentance, it is today. Repent, repent, repent. Mark's first recorded words of Jesus, Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. But people won't repent. What I find so powerful in verse 5, it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God. They didn't believe Jonah. They didn't believe the prophet per se. The prophet was so anointed because it was the heart, the message of God. The Bible said, the people believe, thus saith the Lord. We don't have any more Holy Ghost preaching anymore. It's tickled their ears, make them feel good. We've got to tell people the truth. You see, the people believed the bidding of the word that God told Jonah to preach. Preach that I bid thee. Can you imagine what would happen in America if God gave a particular evangelist, preacher, a full-blown national pulpit podium? What would God do if I could have the opportunity and if it was of God and God told me to stand before the nation and say, yet 40 days, you do not repent, God will overthrow this nation like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe you'd see some people falling on their faces and repenting. I really do. Well, that's old school preaching. That's out of date preaching. You can't preach nothing like that to this generation. I beg to differ with you. If you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be plunged beneath the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to go to the cross and repent and have your sins removed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The people believed the word of the Lord. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, shall he not make it good? Had they not repented, God would have kept his word and overthrown the Ninevites in totality. How? I don't know. It could have been like Sodom and Gomorrah, hell, fire, and brimstone. But God is not a man that he should lie. Abraham in Genesis 18:25 said, shall not the judge of all the earth do that which is right? Psalms 89:34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that have gone forth from my lips. God could not alter what he told Jonah to preach. Unless they repented. Had they not repented, I assure you, by the word of the living God, he would have overthrown Nineveh and every Ninevite, and it would have been destroyed by the hand of God. David said in Psalms 119, verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. When God speaks his word, it's settled. Unless there's repentance. Every time I read the 13th chapter of the book of Luke, I think of 9/11. I think of 9/11. Why? Luke 13, beginning at verse 1, there were present at that season some that told Jesus of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I don't care if it was Pilate slaughtering them or the tower in Siloam that fell and slew them. If you think you're better off than these people and that they were just rank, randy sinners, you're just as sinful, and I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Well, Brother Langford, we're better than those people. No, we're not. We're worse. We're worse. We're worse. A large Baptist church in Greenville, South Carolina, in the Charisma magazine declared they would now ordain transgender pastors. What in God's name is that? What is that? Embracing transgender pastors. I don't know if it's a man. I don't know if it's a woman. I don't know what it is. They laud people of that species. They're aliens. I don't know what they are. Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner. So disgusting. And I reckon now he's going to say, God made me this way. Go back and Google him and look at him in 1976 when he won the decathlon in the World Olympics. Look at him. Man's man. A man's man. Oh, but God made me this way. God made me now from a man to a hybrid. I'm half man, I'm half woman, I'm transgender. You're a sinner, sir. That's what you are. You're a sinner. You have to take hormones. And I mean H-O-R-R-O-R, hormones, to get in that kind of condition. It's a horror what men do. And then ask whatever that thing is now, are you a Christian? Well, we're all Christians. No, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not. There's so many people that says, I'm a Christian. You don't even bear the fruit of a Christian, much less anything else. It's disgusting today to witness what is purported to be Christianity. So far removed from biblical Christianity. Lie in a minute. Ask Hillary. Ask Bill Clinton. You Christians? Absolutely we are. Ask Obama. I'm a Christian. That's not even the man's name. How'd you find out about Hillary Clinton's emails? I found it by the media, but now it's reported he got 18 emails from her on server. But he finds out everything like we do through the media. Most incompetent, inept human being I've ever seen, so he says. They're liars. They're slow bellies. We've got a lot of slow bellies who call themselves Christians, purveyors of discord, purveyors, and they have disdain for God and contempt for God and for God's holy word. Liars they are. Liars. They're of their father the devil, and the lust of their father they will do. They have no unction of the Holy Ghost. They do not pray. They do not fast. They do not get godly counsel. They dwell among the ungodly. They dwell among the wicked. They get their advice from the wicked. They get their advice from the devil. They do not get their advice from the Holy Ghost. Had a brother call me today. Some lady made accusation, innuendo about him. He said, ma'am, have you fasted and prayed about this? She said, I don't need to fast and pray. What an idiot. What an idiot. I don't need to fast and pray. That's why you're deceived. That's why you're going to hell. That's why you're believing a lie. You don't fast and you don't pray and you don't seek God's face and counsel. That's why. Matthew 24:5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Jim Jones said, I'm a prophet of God, and hundreds drank Kool-Aid and died and went to hell with him. That's why I put that article on my website. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Jonah wasn't no wolf in sheep's clothing. He bid and went in there and preached what God bid him to preach. He didn't want to preach it now. Let's understand this. Jonah didn't want to preach it. No, sir. He didn't want to preach, thus saith the Lord. He wanted to run. God said, I'll show you who's King of Kings. I'll show you who's Lord of Lords. I'll show you who's in control of the world. I'll show you who's control of the sea. I'll show you who's control of everything, Jonah. You're not in control of anything, boy. I, God, I'm in control. I'm the God of all flesh. I'm the God of all flesh. The Bible says that God prepared a great fish to swallow him up. God said to that great big old fish, that whale, you go get Jonah and you swallow him right now. Jesus called him a whale in the 12th chapter of Matthew. The book of Jonah calls it a large fish. Jesus said he was a large whale. Somebody emailed my wife, said, tell your husband it was a shark. I said, you go back and tell that person to read Matthew 12 and 40. Whereas Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly. It didn't say shark. People, I laugh at people trying to correct me. You better know your Bible, and you better rightly divide the Bible. See, anything can be taken out of context. Jonah began to preach 40 days. God's going to destroy this city, obliterate this place. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I'd love to see Hillary Clinton put on sackcloth and ashes. They think they're too good to repent. That's why they lie about everything. They lie about everything. We got people who claim they're ministers. They lie like a dog. They lie like a rug. They ain't a bit more called to preach than that bull I got out there in the pasture. But they say they called of God. You're not called, sir. You're a wannabe. Nobody laid hands on you. Nobody set you forth. Nobody recognized the gift in you. It said, we're going to recognize your gift. That's why 1 Timothy 5:22 said, neither be takers of other men's sins. Lay thy hands upon no man suddenly. That's what that means. You don't lay your hands on a man and say, we recognize the gift of God, the call of God, the anointing of God, and we're going to send you forth in the fields to reap the harvest. Lay hands on no man suddenly. You better know those men you lay your hands on. You better know. If you're the presbytery, you better know when you lay your hands on a man to send him out into the fields. I had that done to me twice, once as a single man. In the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee, they recognized the gift of God on my life. Then when I turned in my credentials and left the denomination, the Lord spoke to my heart, said, I want you to do that again. Now, you see, I could have been proud, said, God, I'm not going to do that. I'd have been down that road once. He said, no. You bring in Holy Ghost Spirit-filled men. You put two chairs before the church, your wife in one, you in one. Let them put oil on you and lay their hands on you and send you forth again now because you're out of that covering. I've never seen such silliness, debauchery, all in the name of Jesus Christ. God is not that messed up, folks. God is not that messed up. We got some messed up people. They need to be saved, and they think they're called to preach. They think they're called to teach. They're not even born again. They're not even called of God. You see, I was just like Jonah. I ran as hard as I could from God. I didn't want to preach. People think all we do is eat fried chicken and preach on Sundays. Yeah. That's what a lot of them do. But I try to be a man of discipline and fast and pray and seek the face of God. So when I come to this microphone, I have something to tell you from the word of the Lord. All these guys having a bunch of pinto bean dreams. I saw this. You ain't seen nothing. You make that mess up. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't heard from God. All the stuff you said you've heard from God, you'd be on your face weeping and sobbing and crying and praying. Oh, God, save this nation. God, move on these people. God, I pray a spirit of conviction smite everybody so they might repent and not be lost. Thank you, by the way, for those of you who have fasted and prayed with me and my wife this month. Or excuse me, the month of January. I broke my fast yesterday. I'm tired and weak in my body, but I feel like a bulldozer in my spirit. I feel like the psalmist David. I could leap over a wall and run through a troop in my spirit. My earthly body is frazzled. My spirit man's on fire for God and on fire by the Holy Ghost. You can't fast and pray and not get on fire for God. You'll get a vision of God's heart. You'll get a vision of God's purpose. You'll want to win souls. You'll want to pour oil and wine. You'll want to lead and call people to repentance when you get touched by the Spirit of God. Bible said Jonah preached to the Ninevites, and the people proclaimed a fast. As far as we know, Jonah was the only preacher in a city that was 3 days' journey to go from one side of Nineveh to the other side, and it began to be noised abroad. That man was gathering congregation after congregation, hearing the word of the Lord. And notice what it says in verse 5 and 6. From the greatest of them even to the least of them, for the word came unto the king. I wish somebody that could get a hold of Obama would tell him, son, if you don't repent, you're going to bust hell wide open. No, they won't tell him that. Because he already said, well, I'm a Christian. You liar. Say, why do you call a man a liar? You'll know them by their fruits. Just the one lie. You like your health care, you keep your health care. How many times do you have to be lied to understand somebody's a liar? How many times do you have to be told a lie to understand that? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. When did you hear about Hillary Clinton's emails? Well, I heard about it on the media just like the rest of everybody else. Liar. And see, nobody calls their hand on it. You see, they wouldn't let a man of God get close enough. If a man of God could get in the halls of Congress and Senate and preach repentance, there could be a chance. But all of them will tell you. Let me tell you something. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 7:21. But he that doeth the will of my Father, repentance is the will of God for any people, any nation, any country. Repentance is God's will. I don't have to be told that. The Holy Ghost makes that plain, and the Word of God makes that plain. Repent, get right with God. The Word got to the king. He arose from his throne and he laid his robe from him. He took off his so-called kingship, his lordship, his authority. He put it to the side and he submitted himself to the word of the Lord. He submitted himself to the word of God. Why? Hey, pal, you're getting ready to lose it all in just 40 days. You won't even be a king anymore. You'll be dead. Because they had a record now of Sodom and Gomorrah's judgment. They began to fast. Isn't that something? I have to believe in my spirit that as Jonah was preaching repentance, that somehow he brought in the message of prayer and fasting and humility. What constrained these people to fast? Something was said. Something was done. The anointing of the Holy Ghost, I believe, was so powerfully upon Jonah as he bid and preached what God bid him that the conviction of God said, we have got to fast and pray and humble ourselves and believe that God will somehow turn from this he's about to cast upon us. So the king arose from his throne. You got to know the man probably was an arrogant king, bigoted, self-righteous. Few people in that place of authority are all, for more times than not, like that. He took off his robe. He laid it to the side. Sackcloth. What a sackcloth. Sackcloth would be something that we would call a burlap sack. It'll hold 50, 100-pound bag of beans, but it'll let water or fluid run out of it. It'll hold grain, but it'll allow the fluid to escape. I sometimes want to picture in my mind that the weeping is so profuse that the sack lets the water of tears run out of it. And it was put on for the fact of mourning and weeping. and contrition and brokenness. You see, fasting brings humility. Now, you can feign outward humility. The king could have feigned outward humility by just laying his robe to the side. But he didn't just lay the robe to the side. He said, we're going to fast and pray. Man nor beast, herd nor flock shall taste anything, nor eat anything, nor drink anything. Why? Fasting humbles the soul. The spirit of a man gets humble when he starts fasting. Psalms 35:13, I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my bosom. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift thee up. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall exalt thee. Psalms 9:12, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayers that shall be made in this place. When they begin to fast and begin to pray and call out to God, God heard their humble plea. He heard them. Heard them. The king says, the Bible says, he caused it to be proclaimed and published it through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles. In other words, he told his cabinet, he told his staff, his chief officer, executive, he told everyone, you're going to fast and pray. You hear me? We're all going to fast and pray. Not only us. It's not even going to be a beast, a dog, a jackass, a horse, herd, cattle, flock, chickens, quails. Let them not feed nor drink water. Can you imagine if 100 million people in America, that's less than a third of us, that claim there's 360 million people in America. Can you imagine what would happen if 100 million people begin to fast and pray and say, God, touch us. Touch us with the Holy Ghost. My God, there's no telling what God... Revival would come over this land. The devil can't stop when people start fasting and praying. He can't stop the hand of God. God will move when people start fasting and praying. He always has. He always will. He moved on Nineveh and didn't destroy them. But he was. 40 days. And I'll overthrow this city. Do you hear me, you Ninevites? You know I'll do it. I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I'll destroy America. Well, you know, we don't care about that kind of preaching. We like it like we got it. We want our six-pack. We want some wine in the refrigerator. We like our martinis. We like our highballs. I like to smoke a little dope. I like to snort a little crack. I like to watch a little pornography. I like to gamble a little bit. Well, I cuss a little bit. I fornicate a little bit. Well, I commit a little bit of adultery. I lie a little bit. I cheat a little bit. That's what's in the church. That's what's in the church. Oh, I know what I'm preaching today is not popular. But I'm not in a popularity contest. Never have, never will be. You see, there's a button right now where you turn me off. Just turn me off, click me off, however you're hearing me. Just turn the volume down. You don't have to push the off button. Just turn the volume down. But you won't turn it down because you know what I'm saying is the gospel. It's the truth. And if you got any godliness about you at all, you sense the power that's in the Word of God. You sense the power of the Holy Ghost. You know it's real. You know you're wrong. You know you're in sin. You know you're not right with God. Something deep down inside of you says you need to get it right. You need to get it right. You need to get it right. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I could be dead by tomorrow. When I die, I want to die preaching this gospel. Hallelujah. Crying aloud, sparing not. Jonah didn't spare anybody. See, our churches are so dignified. If the mayor or the governor, can you imagine the mayor of Houston going to Joel Osteen's church and him preaching against sodomy? We don't want to offend the mayor. We want her to feel at home. We want everybody to feel at home. Hey, this ain't your home. You're a pilgrim. You're a stranger. You're just passing through. This world never was your home. Oh, I forgot. You've not repented. You've not been born again. Your name is not in the book of life. See, everybody's names who's in the book of life, this is not your residence. This is just a probationary period for however how many years God gives you. Our whole life is a probation. Ain't nobody saved until they hear Jesus say, well done, or they die in the faith. See, somebody could backslide before they die. Now, I know I have my Baptist brothers out there who don't believe you can lose your salvation. They're deceived. I said they're deceived, and they are deceived. They take it on their own to say Judas Iscariot was never saved. You mean God ordained a devil and apostle? You going to put that on God? You going to put that on Jesus, the Lord Christ? You got the audacity to put that on Jesus? That he ordained a devil out of hell? And he went out and cast out devils? Healed the sick? You want me to believe that garbage? You want to believe that lie? You believe it. But that's a lie straight out of hell. That's not the word of the Lord. Oh, by the way, Revelation 21:8, all liars shall have their part. There's a place in hell for liars, and they're going to have their part of hell and torment and vexation, just all because they lie. One brother said, there's no exit in hell, and there's no need for patience in heaven. Because there's no tribulation, there's no toil, there's no temptation. People today don't want to fast. They don't want to pray. They're like Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, for as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Whereas in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Even sodomite marriage. How disgusting. How deplorable. You need to pray for me. They want to put guys like me in jail for preaching the truth. You need to stand with me. Let me ask you a question today. If I'm not here tomorrow or ever again, is it going to make any difference? I said, is it going to make any difference? Will it make any difference whatsoever if I'm here tomorrow or not? How much does this pure Bible preaching mean to you? Pray for me. Stand with me. Ask God. Keep him strong. Help him to keep his mind. Help him to keep his retention of the scriptures, the word of God. They may confiscate the Bibles and make it against the law to have a Bible. Well, you can't get it out of my heart, sir. You may take my Bible, but you can't take his word out of my heart. I've hid his word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Praise God. Do you care about the word of God? Is the word of God precious to you? Is the word of God valuable to you? What does the word of God mean to you? That's what I don't understand about so-called Christians. Go to a church and the preacher don't never preach the Bible. Never. And they got so many translations. I mean, I was listening to someone of them. I'm going to try to be a nice preacher today and not call so many names, but I was listening to one. And, I have a general knowledge, and after I hear two or three verses, I can most of the time tell you what book they're in. Now, I don't know all the Bible by heart, but I know a good bit of the Bible, but I can listen to a few verses and I can tell you what book you're in. Man, I listened to that person read from their Bible. I had no clue where they were at. I had no idea where they were at in the Bible. Somebody tried to trap the other day. You believe the King James is infallible? How fallible are you to ask that question? How fallible are you, sir, with your little pea brain? You want to challenge God, the authenticity, the validity, the veracity, and your next breath comes from your Maker? What arrogancy. And Proverbs 8:13 said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. I mean, I've never witnessed such nonsense in people that say they're Christians. They're not a bit more Christian than that bull out there in the pasture. He's just a dumb animal. Actually, he's got more sense. According to Jeremiah, these animals got more sense than human beings. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her point at times, and the turtle, and the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming or their birth. You know, when they get ready to have babies, a rabbit, she'll pull fur from her body to make a nest. But my people know not the judgment of God. I mean, even the dumb animals got better sense than us. You ever seen a transgender bull? You ever seen a transgender rooster? You ever seen a transgender boar hog? You ever seen a transgender horse? Have you ever? No, you never. Because everything's supposed to reproduce after its own kind. You see, this is how insane, this is how insane sin has made people. Sin will make you stupid. That's why you drink Budweiser. It makes you Bud stupider. It don't make you wiser. Alcohol will make you do some of the most stupid things in the world. Watch this. Famous last words of a drunk. Watch this. Load him up. Take him to the hospital. Thought he could do it, but he was drunk. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to every man that is among you, that a man ought to not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, a sober-minded man says, I can't do that. But get a pint of whiskey in him. Man, I can do that. Watch this. Call the ambulance, take him to the hospital. Liquor's talking. That's what sin does to you. Sin will eviscerate your life. Sin will destroy your life. Some of you right now, your life is a miserable, total wreck, and it's all because of your carnality, your carnage. Your carnality has brought more damage into your life than could ever be imagined. That's because you're not following the Lord. You honor God with your lips, but your heart is far from God. But you talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk. See, that's why they say talk is cheap, real cheap. Why do you think politicians talk so stinking much? Oh, I can hear some of you now. That's why you talk. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not talking. I am preaching the word of the Lord. I'm giving you Bible. I'm giving you thus saith the Lord. A little Joy, he may give you a little sermonette to you Christianettes who are sucking your cigarettes. Don't want to offend nobody. Don't want to hurt nobody. Want everybody to come back. Want the gay mayor to sit in his church. God forbid you preach against sin anymore. Listen, I want the fornicator to come to the Dallas meeting. I want the adulterer to come. I want the homosexual to come. I want the drug addict to come. I want the liar to come. You know why? I want to preach repentance and them get on an altar and say, God, forgive me a sinner and make me white as snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. But to sit there and coddle you in your sin and tell you you're all right, go to a doctor and let him diagnose you as terminally ill, but he looks at you and says, well, just go home and take two aspirin. You'll be all right. But you get worse. You go to another physician. You go to another oncologist. He tells you a different story. Oh, you're mad now. Why are you mad? That other physician lied to you. He lied to you. He wasted your time. He took your money. He fleeced you. Because he didn't want to tell you the truth. Now you're livid. You see, you get mad at the preacher who tells you the truth. You get upset with the preacher who tries to do the right thing. All, if not 99% of my criticism comes from people who do not know me. They've never supported me. They have nothing to do with me. But let somebody lie on me and they'll believe that. They'll believe that. That's why all liars will have their part in a lake of fire. I had a gentleman the other day, I said, give me a phone call, please, sir. Couldn't do it. Said the time zone won't allow him to do it. Liars. Liars, blatant, flagrant liars, straight out of hell. Any man that has got a God consciousness about him will strive and will contend to do the right thing. I don't care what it is. If you're true to God, you're true to men. If you're false to God, you're false to men. You can't be false with God and be true to men. It don't work, sir. It does not work. You can try all you want to, but it won't work. When your heart's not right with God, it'll never be right with men. It'll never be right with men. Never. But men want to think that lie. Well, I know I'm not right with God, but I'm doing standing by my brother over here. That's deception. That's the personification of deception and duplicity. You see, the king, he understood he wasn't a bit better than anybody else. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, I can see somebody preaching repentance, and Obama said, now, they're not preaching to me. They're talking to somebody else in my cabinet, but not me. I call that pitchfork preaching. It gets dumped in their lap. They take a pitchfork, and they throw it over their shoulder and say, that couldn't have been for me. That's from my neighbor behind me. That's who Jesus is talking to. Can't be me. No, you see, the king, when he heard the word, the Bible said, for a word came unto the king of Nineveh. When he heard overthrow in 40 days, that's what made him repent. You know why? He would be destroyed like the peons, the chattel. He would have been destroyed like everybody else. He understood, I better get right with God. I better make this right with God. You see, people no longer care about being right with God. You see, there's something about God consciousness. You see, that's how I know a lot of people aren't spending any time in prayer. I can tell by their very deeds and actions they're not talking to God, because the Holy Ghost would say, don't you say that, don't you do that, don't you go there. Don't you wear that. Don't you watch that. Don't you turn on that rotten computer and watch all that pornography. Don't you do that now. But they do it anyway. You know why? They're not talking to God. Prayer will restrain you, sir. Prayer will restrain you, ma'am. Prayer will hold you back. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When you pray and you fast, you make your spirit stronger so your spirit can say to your flesh, uh-uh, we're not going there. We're not doing that. We're not acting like that. But they won't pray. They won't talk to God about it. Just like that woman told my brother, that I don't have to pray and fast about some things. If you want to know the truth about things, I said, if you want to know the truth about things, you better pray that God will let you see through the veneer, see through the facade, see through the lies, see through the chicanery, see through the trickery. You better get a hold of God and say, God, let me see what I can't see. Let me hear what I can't hear. It's like the prophet of God told God, said, open my servant's eyes and let him see. God opened the servant's eyes. He said, they that be for us are more than they that be against us. The man prayed and said, open my servant's eyes and let him see. He talked to God. But people say, I don't need to talk to God. That's why you'll believe a lie and be damned. That's right. You'll believe a lie and be lies damned. Lies damn. Lies destroy. Truth sets men free from a lie. Did you hear me? Truth sets men free from a lie. Anybody can be brought in subjection and into bondage by a lie, but the truth will always set you free. Great God in heaven, I feel that. The truth. The truth to Nineveh was 40 days. God's going to overthrow this place. I wonder how many people came to the king and said, I wouldn't believe that mess. I wouldn't believe that lie. I wouldn't be surprised somebody didn't tell the king, don't believe that idiot. God's going to overthrow this place in 40 days. Don't believe that lie. No, the Holy Ghost constrained his heart, compelled him to fast and pray because he heard the truth. He heard the truth, and he proclaimed a fast. He published it through Nineveh by a decree of the king himself and his nobles and noblemen. He said, we're all going to fast. We're all going to pray. Animals might not be able to pray, but they were made to fast. Because God is a respecter of no persons. God said there's none righteous. No, not one. That's why I challenge you regularly. Pray, fast, repent, read your Bible, stay in the Word of God, stay holy, stay pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see. God, is your heart pure? Is your heart defiled and stained with the things of the world and sin? God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.